In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. It is a blessing to see all of you this morning. So as I was getting ready for this morning's sermon, as I was thinking about the parable, and I was thinking about all sorts of different things that are happening in our family, I began to think about my children. Because very soon, our children are about to start school. Nicholas is actually in Bowling Green as we speak. Don't know what he's doing, but I'm confident he's doing well. So Nicholas, I think, begins school tomorrow. I may get all this wrong, but Nicholas begins school tomorrow. Lucia begins school tomorrow. She's shaking her head yes. So that means I'm correct. And then Vasilia will begin school on Tuesday. So the kids are beginning school, and I began to think about my children. I started to think to myself, who are the role models in my children's life, right? Who do they look to? Who do they kind of compare themselves to? I thought when I was younger, it was TV personalities, and maybe the children do that. For me, it was athletes as well. We would look to these athletes, right, and kind of have them as our role models. And of course, nowadays, though, it's a lot of social media, right? There's these people who they call influencers. And these are people on TikTok and YouTube who do what their title says, right? They influence other people. So they do that in many ways, maybe in athletics and in health and all sorts of things. They try and they influence, right? So I'm assuming that these are probably some of the people who my kids are looking to as models, right? Looking to kind of comparing themselves. And then I thought about another place, and that would be me, right? Me and Presbytera. We are models in a sense for my children. I thought to myself, well, how am I doing so far? Well, I think sometimes I might hit a home run and other times it's a swing and a miss, right? There are many times in my life where I do not do so well as an example. And His Eminence reminded us of that last week, right? When He told all of us that that is what we're supposed to be. We are to be examples for our children. We are to be examples for one another. We are to be examples for our friends and our families. And then I got to thinking, okay, well, when I do hit it out of the park, what's going on in my life? What is happening? Well, I think what's happening is I am remembering who it is that I am supposed to model my life after. Who it is that I am supposed to look to when I'm trying to figure out how am I supposed to live. And that's, of course, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. When I look to Him, and most importantly, when I ask Him, what do you want me to do in this situation? When I ask Him, what am I supposed to do here? That's when I think I'm doing my best, because that's who we're supposed to model ourselves after. And today, our Lord is telling us that you have to do one or two very important things. He is telling us you are to be merciful and you are to be forgiving, because that, He says, is how I am. We are supposed to model that kind of behavior. So today, it's extremely important for us to consider, why is our Lord telling us to be merciful, and why is He telling us to be forgiving? What is it about mercy and forgiveness that is so important when it comes to our Christian journey? So this morning we are reading from Matthew chapter 18. Now it's important before we head into this parable that we do a little bit of background on this chapter, on chapter 18. So chapter 18, we can tell from being in chapter 18 that we're getting a little closer to our Lord being crucified, dying, and then resurrecting and ascending into heaven. So He's getting His disciples ready for this, right? So He's talking to them about kind of how they're supposed to behave towards one another and what kind of God wants from them and how He sees us. So He tells this parable about a lost sheep, right? And how important it was for the owner of that sheep to find and save that one sheep. And He tells the disciples that that is how God views all of us, right? That it's so important to Him that we are saved. And then He begins to talk about the church, and He says, when you have a disagreement, He says, this is what you're supposed to do. This is how you're supposed to behave with one another. And then the wonderful Peter says, okay, fine. That's all well and good. But how many times, Peter says to the Lord, am I supposed to forgive the person who has wronged me? And Peter says, is seven times enough? And the Lord says, no, it's 70 times seven. And what does that mean? We're supposed to forgive all the time. And then in order to kind of make this really, really clear, the Lord tells this wonderful parable that we heard today, right? And the parable begins with this king, right? And we know that's our Lord, who decides he's going to reconcile his accounts with all of his servants. So he brings this one servant to him who owes him just a ridiculous amount of money. There's so much money, he would never, ever be able to pay it back. So as we just heard, he's about to sell him into slavery with his entire family. And what does this servant ask for? He doesn't ask for forgiveness, does he? No, he just asks for patience. He asks for a little bit of time. He's asking for a little bit of mercy. And what does the Lord do for him? He doesn't just give him time. He is merciful and he forgives the entire debt. And I got to thinking about that moment. I wonder what this guy felt like. And I thought to myself, well, how have you felt when you have been forgiven? Now, I've never been forgiven $1 million debt, because thank God for that. But, you know, I think all of us can think back to times where we've made mistakes, times maybe where you've come to confession, or times where you've gone to someone and asked them for forgiveness. I know for me, when I do that, a few things happen. It feels like a weight has been lifted from me, right? I feel light because I'm forgiven. I feel nourished. I feel strong. I feel healed because of that. And I feel at peace as well, because there's no more this fighting between us, right? I feel at peace with God and with whoever it was who I needed to forgive or who needed forgiveness from me. And I imagine that that's how that servant felt. I imagine he felt great. I imagine he felt wonderful leaving from his Lord. And now he has a choice, right? His choice is, what do I do with these feelings, right? What am I to do? Well, he makes the wrong choice, doesn't he? Yeah. So he grabs the other servant by the neck and he says, you pay me what you owe me. And what does the servant ask for? Patience. He asks for mercy. And what does the unforgiving servant do? Well, his name kind of tells us, he didn't forgive, did he? Instead, he throws him in jail. And this is where he gets in trouble. But here's the interesting thing. He doesn't really get in trouble because of his sins. He gets in trouble because he didn't do what the master did. He gets in trouble because he didn't give that same mercy and forgiveness that he was given. He gets in trouble because he didn't model after him, right? He didn't model after the Lord. My friends and my family in Christ, probably every day we read a certain prayer, right? The Lord gave us. And it says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Jesus is pretty clear. We are forgiven as much as we are able to forgive others. I want to offer you one last thing to think about, how important this issue of mercy and forgiveness is. I was at camp. I think I may have written a reflection about this. I was at camp this year with Father Bryce, who's the priest in Kalamazoo. Some of you may have known him as the bishop's deacon for quite a while. And we were with the kids, and he was asking them about this issue of mercy. And a lot of them were kind of talking about God as being this kind of judge, right? And then he began to tell them the importance of that word, eleison, in Greek, because it sounds a lot like another word, which is oil. Right? But not any oil, but olive oil. And then he began to tell them about the importance of olive oil, right? The ancients, and maybe even today, people thought it had medicinal purposes. So it was something that could heal us. What happens if you eat it? Well, it's good for you, right? It gives you nourishment. It gives you strength. And then have you ever heard about offering an olive branch, right? It brings peace as well. And he told them that when we ask God for mercy, that's what we're asking him for. We're asking him to strengthen us. We're asking him to heal us. We're asking him to grant some peace between him and ourselves. And that is exactly what happens when we do that in our lives. When we are merciful to the other, we are strengthening them. When we are merciful to the other, we are healing them. When we are merciful and forgiving to the other, we are bringing peace into their lives and our lives. That is what God is giving us. And that, my friends and my family in Christ, is exactly what he expects from us to do for others. Now, I know it's not the easiest thing in the world to do, but I also know that our Lord and Savior tells us this: what is impossible with man is possible with whom? God. So we look to him. We look to him to give us the strength to do these things. We look to him to continue strengthening us to move forward with mercy and forgiveness, just as he had. So today I ask, as we continue with this morning's liturgy, that we remember and we think about different ways that God has forgiven you, the different ways that God has shown mercy to you, the strength, the nourishment, the peace he has given you. And as you leave today, consider doing that for others. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise.